This is Radio Boston. I'm Tiziana Deering. The clock's ticking down for Massachusetts General Hospital and its employees. Tomorrow is the deadline to get vaccinated for the hospital's nearly 28,000 workers. As of October 6th, in the entire Mass General Brigham system, about 4,000 employees had failed to meet the mandate. So what's going to happen tomorrow and to how many people at Mass General? We had a chance to ask the new president of MGH, Dr. David Brown, just a couple of hours ago about all of this. He has been on the job for just about a month now. Dr. Brown tells us his goal is to make sure everyone keeps their jobs and gets vaccinated.
Across Mass General Brigham, we have about 77,000 employees. And as of this morning, we still had about 2,200 who were either unvaccinated or whose status is still unknown. And at Mass General, where we have 28,000 employees, we have about 800 or so people still unvaccinated this morning. About half of those are per diem staff who aren't here very frequently, and the other half, about 400 or so, are regular employees.
And what happens with those regular employees beginning tomorrow, Dr. Brown? Are they placed on unpaid leave like the city of Boston just did for over 800 employees earlier this week? Are they fired? How does that work?
Well, first, we hope that that number is going to be a lot smaller by tomorrow. We're busy confirming among that group of 800 at Mass General who among that group is in fact vaccinated and can provide confirmation of that. We're also providing first dose vaccinations across our system to about 800 people a day. And that's very encouraging as our deadline looms.
So excuse me for interrupting, but you're doing that internally. So if you have an employee in the hospital who's not yet vaccinated, they can get that shot right in the hospital.
That's correct. Across our system at a variety of locations. Yes.
Dr. Brown, do you know the job breakdown? Do you have eyes in, and is that something that you can share with us? Is there a particular type of employee in the hospital more likely to be unvaccinated?
Well, it's spread across all role groups, really, at every level of the organization. We have unvaccinated physicians, very few, but some. We have some unvaccinated nurses. There isn't one role group that seems to be disproportionately impacted based on the denominator of employees in that role group. Anyone who is fully vaccinated or has had the first vaccination by tomorrow and has a second vaccination planned will meet our requirement for vaccination. And, of course, we will follow up on those who still have a second vaccine to undergo. And then we will spend time over the weekend adjudicating our final list, and anyone who remains on it next week will be suspended next week, and we will have to move towards termination there.
Will they have the option of potentially getting a first dose at one of these locations you've talked about and staving off a permanent firing?
Absolutely. It is our goal to fire no one. It is our goal to protect all of our employees with vaccination as we protect all of our patients by vaccinating our staff.
So the last question I have on this, Dr. Brown, you know, you were the head of MGH's emergency department throughout the pandemic. You were quite reflective in the early days and talked about just the strain of that. And I wonder, given what you've seen about what this disease can do, does it frustrate you to have employees who are not yet vaccinated? And how are you talking to them about that to encourage them to get the shots?
It doesn't frustrate me, but it concerns me because we're a healthcare organization and our responsibility is to provide a safe and welcoming environment to our patients, many of whom aren't yet eligible for vaccination. That would be children under 12. And many of whom, due to their underlying illnesses, aren't able to mount a protective immune response to the vaccine. So our first responsibility is to our patients and to provide a safe environment in which they can receive care. And that's why we set this requirement of vaccination for all of our employees. We've worked really hard to try to get the information that our employees need as they consider vaccination, and we're continuing to do that today. We'll continue to do it all day tomorrow. We'll do it next week if anyone wants to talk to us who remains unvaccinated. We've tried to meet people where they are, understand what their concerns are, and then try to help them work their way through those concerns and ultimately get vaccinated.
And what about boosters? Where will they fit in this picture? Is there a time when you'll expect employees or mandate that employees receive appropriate boosters as well?
That's a good question for which the answer remains unknown. Booster shots are now recommended for a number of people, including those whose occupation places them in contact with patients with COVID and therefore puts them at some increased risk. And healthcare workers fall into that last category. And so we're offering and encouraging our staff to get boosters. So we're recommending that, but we don't have a policy yet around the requirement for boosters.
So let's just step back for a little bit. You again, were head of emergency during this pandemic. You have walked through the halls of Mass General Hospital, I would assume, at some of its most chaotic moments. When you walk through the halls of the hospital today, what does it look like and what does it feel like?
Well, we're in a very different place. During the first surge, which was about 20 months ago, in addition to being really overwhelmed by the influx of very sick patients, patients with COVID-related pneumonia, in respiratory failure, patients requiring immediate treatment, often intensive care level treatment. Not only was there an enormous volume of patients coming in, we didn't have any certainty about where it would end, and we didn't have any certainty that the protective equipment we were wearing would actually work. At one point at Mass General, we had 490 of our beds filled with COVID-positive patients at the peak of the first surge. That's a pretty stunning number in a 1,000-bed hospital to have almost half of its beds filled with patients with a single disease. Now we have about 45 patients in the hospital with COVID, and it's not impacting in an overwhelming way our daily operations like it did during that first surge. And in addition, now we have learned that our protective equipment does in fact work. And so the fear factor is really behind us. What I feel now and what I'm worried about most now is the sort of the long-term effects of responding to the pandemic among healthcare workers, because it's not just the impact of the pandemic at work, it's the impact of the pandemic at home. And it's created a lot of stress and anxiety for our workforce. And I'm most worried about the impact of that today and in the future.
So what do you do for them?
That's a really good question. So we try to provide support. Of course, we provide vaccination. And we try to listen to what people are worried about, what people are thinking about, and try to respond to those things. There were staff shortages across healthcare before the pandemic. And the pandemic has made that worse as people in healthcare have reevaluated what they want out of their work life and what they want in terms of balance between work and the rest of their lives. And some of those people have not come back to full-time or as much part-time work as they did pre-pandemic. And that's exacerbated staffing challenges and made caring for patients, not just with COVID, but with all sorts of diseases and injuries more difficult.
You know this hospital intimately. You started at MGH back in 1989. And now you are running, you know, an organization with 28,000 employees. It's a multi-billion dollar organization. You're speaking very matter-of-factly here with me about issues that are existential for the hospital, for the industry, for the health of our country. Early in the pandemic, you were known for being reflective, for sending out emails that acknowledged what people were feeling, texting people to check in on them in the middle of the night. How do you strike the balance between the clear-eyed professional who's running a, you know, multi-billion dollar institution and the compassionate caregiver who needs to be responsive to patients and staff?
Well, I think that's a challenge that all of us in healthcare face, not just me. I try to think about the big picture. I try to think about the mission of the hospital. You know, our founder said, when in distress, every person becomes our neighbor. And I've thought many times during the pandemic that never in Mass General's 211-year history now has that been more true.
So you talked about the mission of the hospital. And missions are important, but they change. When catastrophic things happen in the world, changes around us. You're a new president. What's the mission now, and what are your goals? What do you have to get done in the next 6 months, in the next 12 months?
Well, I think some of it's what we already talked about. We have to continue to respond to the pandemic. In addition, we have to provide the care that was delayed during the pandemic that is necessary to keep, you know, our patients and our communities healthy. And we have to take care of our staff, who, as I mentioned, have borne the burden of the pandemic in extraordinary ways and are feeling those effects. So that's priority number one for me. And then continuing to focus on the other aspects of our mission, continuing to train the next generation of leaders in the House of Medicine, continuing to invest in the science and the innovation that will change the way we deliver healthcare in the future and how we will treat disease in the future, and then continuing to engage with and serve our communities who rely on us, and to do so through the lens of health equity.
I do want to stay with health equity for a minute. So you've got this $1.9 billion expansion in the city, two towers in the area around Cambridge Street. It'll create net 94 new beds, as I understand it, with what sounds like an emphasis on private beds. You've said that you want to move sort of specialty healthcare into the MGH buildings to do what you do best. Where does that put the low income, the uninsured health needs of the people surrounding the hospital and those whose vulnerabilities in our current public health system have been so laid bare by this pandemic?
I'll just start with the G in MGH stands for general, and we're a general hospital for the communities right around our building that we serve. They consider us their local community hospital, and we're proud to provide their general medical care, and that'll always be part of our mission. Now, I chose emergency medicine as my own specialty for the privilege, really the honor, of being invited into a patient's life on their worst day. And whether they're in the ED for a sprained ankle or they've been in a terrible car accident or anything in between, it's really their worst day. I mean, no one wakes up in the morning and says, I think I'll come to the emergency department today. And so being invited into that moment and trying to make it better, trying to relieve suffering, reduce pain, improve quality of life, treat disease, there's something very incredibly special about that for me, and it's why I chose emergency medicine and why I went into medicine to begin with. And that's always been core to the mission here at MGH. And I wanted to do that for my whole community without regard to whether or not a person could pay or the color of their skin, who they worshiped, who they loved. So back to your question, we do need to build this new building in order to ensure that we can deliver the care that our patients will need into the future, into this century. We're delivering care in really antiquated buildings now. We are a 1,000-bed hospital, but 62% of our beds are double occupancy. You can't build a hospital now with double occupancy rooms. It's simply not allowed, and yet almost two-thirds of our beds are double occupancy. I don't want to share a hotel room with somebody I don't know when I'm healthy, and I certainly don't want to share a room with someone I don't know when I'm not healthy, and our patients deserve single rooms. You know, our patients are already here, and we're not taking the kind of care of them that I'd like to. We started this morning with about 60 patients in the emergency department waiting for beds to open upstairs, and that's a high number, but it's not an off-the-charts number. We start the day with double-digit patients waiting for inpatient beds every single morning, and so we need to move to a hospital of the future with single rooms that allow us to harness innovation, that allow us to respond to infection control issues, and that allow us to take care of the patients that we're already caring for, but in a suboptimal way due to our insufficient physical plan.
Last question for you, Dr. Brown. There is a sort of public health authority, a particular one, to your role as the head of a world-renowned teaching hospital. We are still in the pandemic. According to data from the Kaiser Family Foundation, approximately 90,000 people died from COVID in the country between June and September who maybe didn't have to had they been vaccinated. What is your message to the public right now?
Yeah, well, that's a heartbreaking statistic. The patients who have died of COVID since the widespread availability of vaccine, most of those deaths are unnecessary. And as a physician, as a public health official, as I said, that's a heartbreaking number for me. My message is that vaccinations are safe, they're effective, they prevent serious illness, they prevent hospitalization, they prevent death, and the alternative really is to get COVID. So the decision isn't, should I get vaccinated or not? The decision is, should I get vaccinated or I will get COVID? Because the variants we have now are extremely transmissible, and they're not going to go away. So for the unvaccinated among us, the alternative is to get COVID. And the dangers associated with that are completely unnecessary in an era of safe and widely available effective vaccines.
That is Dr. David Brown, president of Massachusetts General Hospital. Dr. Brown, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.